Thank you. In Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 21, Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." The words of Jesus Christ from the gospel, the good news of Luke, the 17th chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May what we see in God live within us all. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. This is your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service right here. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address and contact information, along with past sermons, both in text and audio on it, is www.JesusChristSaid.com, www.JesusChristSaid.com. Today's Bible reading comes from 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. All the people of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the festival in the month Ethanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests carried the Ark. So they brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priest and the Levites brought them up. King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, who had assembled before him, were with him before the Ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim made a covering above the ark and its poles. The poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses had placed there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever." That's our Bible reading for today from the Old Testament, the first book of Kings, the 8th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all, and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. Where is God anyway? God lived in the Ark of the Covenant for the Israelites in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. That temple was the Temple Mount that was in Jerusalem. Before the Ark was in the temple, it was in the tent carried around by the Israelites. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God." Now Uzzah knew that under no circumstances was anyone to touch the ark of God. As humans are spiritually unclean before the coming of Jesus Christ, we had no way to reach out and touch God. Only those who were appointed priests, the Levites, could even be in the presence of the ark, once it was put in its permanent place in Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. And not only that, but the Ark of God was supposed to be carried by two poles held up by human beings. It was not to be carried by oxen, as in the story of Uzzah. So Israel had carried God correctly, as the law said, the ark would not have fallen over, and Uzzah, in his disrespect for God, would not have had to reach out and steady the ark by touching it. So this tragedy was a community failure, not just one man's failure. There had to be a better way. Thus, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, came into our world so the present-day Ark of God would never again be carried in an improper and disrespectful way. As God moved from the Ark of the Covenant in the temple to the body of Jesus while he was here on earth with us, so did the heart of humankind move from salvation through the law to salvation through Jesus Christ. During Jesus' time, there was a group of holy men called the Pharisees. They numbered only about 8,000 or 9,000 in all of Jerusalem, but were the very learned, the very astute keepers of the law of Moses. They were that age's experts about God. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, indeed a leader in the Sanhedrin, that's a group of 71 men who ruled Jerusalem and the Jews, came to see Jesus one night in the darkness of night. Now, that's significant. And in that conversation, recorded in the third chapter of John, Jesus Christ told him, "Verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" And then Nicodemus, being the biblical scholar that he was, knew all about the passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, where God tells the prophet Ezekiel, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your heart the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and make you follow my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances." Nicodemus knew that he could indeed be sprinkled with this cleansing water from God, and that a new heart and a new spirit would be in him. In fact, Nicodemus understood that God would take this heart of stone from his body and give him a heart of flesh. That is, Nicodemus, who was dead without the Spirit of God's love living in his heart, would be brought to life, real life, complete with a new heart of flesh. What Nicodemus didn't understand was that it was Jesus Christ who would save him and us with his sacrifice in our place, that the law would be replaced by the Holy Spirit of God's love, which Jesus Christ characterized as the wind blowing where it would. Now, what does this new life of being reborn in the water and the Spirit look like? Paul tells us clearly in Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 16, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I have warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." By contrast, Paul goes on, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. So Jesus, in the third chapter of John, was telling Nicodemus and us nothing that we deep down don't already know, that God and all of his wonders can bring us from being dead in our hearts and souls, as Paul says, it being a slave to the works of the flesh, to being alive, living in the Holy Spirit of the love and mercy of God. This is a miracle of God that is not a miracle. I mean, we know, all of us, that God is capable of doing this. What Nicodemus didn't know, and what the Jews and we of today don't know and won't acknowledge, is that it is Jesus the Christ, Jesus, who is telling this to Nicodemus and to us, that he, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah, the one from God, the one who is God himself living on earth. This was what Nicodemus didn't understand, and what we have difficulty in believing, that God chose to live among us, that God chose to die on the cross in our place, that God chose to be our perfect sacrifice once and for all time, that God is Jesus Christ ascending into heaven, where he has prepared a place for us. In John, the second chapter, beginning in verse 19, Jesus Christ said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, Jesus Christ tells us, "There is now a new covenant between us and God. It is now through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us on that cross." Jesus Christ said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." It's ironic that in our Bible reading for today, we are told that the Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. Isn't our heart, before we receive Jesus Christ, a thick darkness? Just as Jesus Christ at the wedding at Cana turned the impure water into pure wine, he, God, now residing in the light and purity that is Jesus Christ, leads us from impurity to purity and brings light to the darkness that was us. History tells us that in 70 AD, the Roman army under Titus destroyed Jerusalem in the temple to suppress an uprising of the Jews. According to the historian Josephus, about 1.1 million Jews were killed, and others were taken as captives. It's also ironic, isn't it, that the very people, the Romans, who tried to destroy Jesus Christ, the real temple, the temple that, as Jesus predicted, would be rebuilt in 3 days, the temple where God now resides, that those Romans were the ones who destroyed the old temple of Solomon in Jerusalem and scattered the Jews around the world. The Romans destroyed the temple less than 40 years after Jesus died for us on the cross. The new Jewish state of Israel has been in existence for 60 years, since 1948. One can certainly have a good time playing with the numbers, but don't take your eye off of where God is. By God living in the Christ, in the blood, in the body of Christ, when we take Jesus Christ into our hearts, guess where God is? The answer, the question, where is God? God is in our hearts and in our souls. If only we let God in, if only we follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Because in that conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus Christ told him and us that he was the Messiah. When Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life," he was proclaiming to all the world that it is through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ, that this eternal water and spirit is given. This rebirth in us is what allows us to live forever in heaven with God. So where is God? God is in heaven waiting for us. But God is also in us, in our hearts, and in our souls. But only if Jesus Christ lives in us, and Jesus Christ lives through us. Let us pray. O God, the majesty of the morning sky, the ruler of all the stars, the power of every king, every nation, every one of us on earth, we stand in awe in the cloak of your glory. May we have the clarity of soul to understand your mysterious ways. May we be filled with the power to call on your mercy and your goodness and your grace for all of our days. Our lives would be an ocean of nothingness without your love. Stay with us to the end of days. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that giving the gifts of compassion and forgiveness and love is the gifts of the kings. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still a part of that sinful world, you can change that. Jesus Christ in his love and forgiveness and compassion can begin to live in you, can be in you, in your heart. That's where God can be, is in your heart. And you can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, and it can't be as bad as that thief on his cross who Jesus took with him to paradise that very day. You can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now in the twinkling of an eye. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door those who may need God the most, to judging others and telling them that they are going to hell when only Jesus Christ has the power to judge us, to forgiving your own sins while holding others to a higher standard, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, to sinfully promising others wealth of the world if only they believe as you do, if your light for the righteousness of Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but pray with me now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Then Wednesday evening, find a church close by, no matter what denomination. And if you're physically able, go there. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. That's the very best way to get to know God, by studying his word. And then next Sunday, go to church, any church, but go. Go to Sunday school and to church worship service. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church. Forget about denomination. And look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. That's a reflection of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. God is living in their hearts. That's where God is in that church. You find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party. And you find that one true church for you, where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. And I'd like to salute all you veterans and all of you servicemen and women who are here in the United States facing overseas duty, too. I'd like to salute all of you. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I gave the worship services this morning. I'm always glad to see all of my friends over there and to worship God with them. Please write or email me and let's work together for the love of Christ to become a reality in your life and those around you. And you can help Pat and me in this ministry by sending a tax-free donation of any amount to us. Your generosity, God's generosity living in you, will be known by God and will help us spread the good news of what Jesus Christ said. If you would like to have others hear this message in other cities, on other radio stations, or in other venues, like I want to preach during the week to somebody, but I need to have a place for a set up a little church for us once a week. I need your help to do that. If you'd like to have this radio ministry do that, the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries, then help us do that. We would love to do that. We would love to be on the air in other cities on other radio stations so others can hear this message of saving grace from Jesus Christ. Send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Be sure and keep posted on the Jesus Christ Said Ministries by going to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. And you can go and hear our past sermons there if you'd care to. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. We've got a local man to sing our closing song today. The song is the Holy City, or some may know it as the Jerusalem Song. You may have heard it or even sung it in church before, but I'll guarantee you, you've never heard it sung like this, with so much of God's magnificence put into one song. The artist singing is Scott Cameron of Arlington. His biography on his website, and I'll give you that address after he sings, says that Scott Cameron uses his unique talent to bring a message of hope and encouragement to a hurting world. His lyrical yet powerful delivery of inspired songs focuses on lifting praise and adoration to God Almighty, encouraging the saints who seek strength for the journey, and presenting the message of salvation to non-believers. Scott holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in vocal performance and sacred music from Appalachian State University in his hometown of Boone, North Carolina. And he also has a Master of Arts degree in music from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary right here in Fort Worth. He entered full-time music evangelism in 1995. Here's the Holy City, sung by Scott Cameron.
there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the crystal sea. The light of God was on the streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter in, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, nor sun to rule by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away.
Jerusalem,
that's The Holy City, sung by Scott Cameron. Once again, Scott Cameron's website is www.cameronministries.com. Cameronministries.com. I've listed his website on my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. So if you go there and check his schedule, if you have an opportunity to hear Scott Cameron sing in person, please do so. You'll be blessed, as Pat and I were, by his singing ministry. If we have been forgiven of our sins by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, then we will gladly, joyfully want to live the life that Paul said is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Paul said, there is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. We are now the ark of God, the new covenant with God through Jesus Christ to be carried throughout the rest of our lives. As long as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, we will never touch this ark with unclean hands. So the question is, where is God? The answer, God lives within our hearts. That's where God is. Please come back next time. We're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.